Leadership is when you have the capacity to be the person who sets the standard in the peer group. Where through your love, through your caring, through your dynamic presence and passion and congruency, through your sense of internal certainty, through your capacity to have a standard that's higher than anybody else in the group, that's really what makes you a leader. If you can love everybody unconditionally and at the same time have a standard that's higher than anybody else in the group, you will become the leader. Period. If they feel cared for you and you have a higher standard, you will gravitate as the leader. Leadership is not something that is inborn. Leadership is a standard that you set that is a connection level of standard, how much you are willing to care, and a standard in terms of how you're willing to play whatever game you enter. And a person with the highest standard, the person who is the most dynamic in their capacity to influence through that caring and relationship, is the person who will lead. Because when any two people meet, the person who is most certain if there's rapport will eventually influence the other people in the group. If there is rapport, if there is mutual respect and caring. And so that's why the development of the relationship is the most important capacity of leadership. It is the most important one. That's why rapport is the most important skill other than peak state. He said, Tony, what do I really need to be a great leader? Answer number one, you need to show up as a leader in terms of your state. Remember I said to you to start with states and standards? And that state has to be a standard for you that is absolute no matter what is going on with you. Doesn't matter. I get up, I'm doing a date with Destiny, and my CEO in those days, when it was in my house, walks up to me and says, you're going bankrupt, there's no way to survive, I have to go back to my job, I know you're going on stage, I'm sorry to do this to you right now, but if I were you, I'd just cancel this thing because you're going to lose your home and everything else. Bye. And now I got to stand up and do date with Destiny for 4 days. Right? And you learn to just suck it up and move on. You learn how to just deal with whatever gets thrown at you so it doesn't matter what occurs. You find that power inside yourself and you move on and you care about the people around you more than you care about maybe your own needs for the moment, not long term. You operate from a place of I'm here to serve, not to operate from my fear. What I'm afraid of, if it's really going to happen, I'll deal with it when it's time to deal with it. Now is not the time. That's the process that starts to transform us. So what I really want to get you to do inside of yourself is I want you to start to look at how is it that you create that rapport with people as rapidly as possible? And it's so many little things like reciprocation. It's little things like finding what's great in them and giving them a sincere compliment. Like doing your homework. It's catching people doing things right. It's serving them. It's being willing to make them feel significant. This is people's biggest problem. They don't want to make somebody else feel significant because if they make you feel significant, they feel like they won't be significant. If you make connection the higher value where loving this person and connecting this stranger is more important than trying to feel like you're a leader, I guarantee you, you'll have a relationship in which you will be able to influence them later on if you show up with certainty. But you got to have state, number one. It's got to be your standard. Number two, you got to have rapport. It's the second thing you got to have. You got to have rapport. If you don't have that rapport, they'll come up with every story you can imagine in their head. People can make stories up. They're going to make stories up no matter what you do. Because they're going to go, he's so happy. He's not really that happy. Nobody can be that happy. Right? Or, wow, I wish I could be like that. Or, yeah, that person's full of themselves. That's why the rapport is critical, so that the story that comes out of it is, wow, it's filtered through, I like this person. It's filtered through, this person is somebody who's really a good person. It's filtered through the identity you create by building rapport. And that happens by all the little interactions you do with people. And you know how to do this stuff. You just have to show up. So one of your states, peak state, has got to be so much caring, so much warmth, and so much playfulness that people like you, really like you. And as a result, want to listen to you. Most of those people are going to come to this seminar not because they understand there's a specific skill set that they are now traveling across the earth and parting with $10,000 and another $5,000 or $10,000 over the course of the year to stay in places and fighting the traffic and going through the planes. They aren't doing all that because there's some specific skill set that they have identified that will change the quality of their life. They're coming here because they know I love them. They're coming here because they know there's a guy up there that they can count on who will unconditionally love them and help them find the place where they will feel better about themselves. That's why they want to part with every resource we just described. Think about it. Who would start a business if you were a banker? If I said to you, here's my business. Half the people in my business are going to have to pay $10,000 to actually visit with me. And they're going to have to travel to a far-off land, a long way from where they live. And they're going to have to go through immensely stressful travel 2 or 3 times a year. And they're going to have to give up their work during that time. And they're going to do all this based on one personality. And they're going to do all this stuff with some intangible benefits, right, as far as what the promise is. They don't have a clue. And they got to explain to their friends what's the matter with them. How many of you would loan money to somebody doing a business based on that principle? I wouldn't. But what's missing is the critical component, which is the capacity for those people to actually feel loved and significant. And the hope that they could be able to do that long term and therefore have a life in which every day is a celebration. And that is the magic that pulls it all together, not a skill set. But to be able to give that much love, you're going to have to feel that much love. To really be able to have that rapport, you're going to have more of it for yourself. And to do each of those things can happen how fast, by the way. But it requires a shift in your identity. It requires you saying you're good enough. Really owning that you're good enough. Not questioning if you're good enough, because everybody questions. Right? There's a point in which you stop doing that. You start going, you know what? And you know, it's when you feel you deserve it. For me, I don't know if it's the same for you, but for me, it's when I look at the souls that I've had the privilege to interact with, and I see the part I played. I know God played a huge part. I know I got to be one of the vehicles for it. And I see that. I have so many stacked experiences of that that I know I'm worth it. I also know I'm just a guy. Leadership is not a skill. Leadership is a state of caring, a state of rapport, and a set of standards that cause you to have other people want in some way to have some of what you have, even though you're not perfect. And leadership is something that has to be consistent. Because when it's inconsistent, people then become in a position where they no longer trust. And that's one of the challenges we have. And so what you and I have to look at is how do we make sure we deliver consistent leadership? Not leadership that doesn't make mistakes. I was sitting down with my son, Jarek. I took him for a week to Fiji, just he and I, to spend some really quality time uninterrupted. And it was fantastic. It's one of the best weeks I've had with him. And one of the things that I talked to him about most is I said, you know, what you got to understand when you look at this situation is I don't expect you to be perfect. I said, I think you think you've got to be perfect so you don't always tell me the truth about everything. And I said, I went through this with Josh. I said, I never expected Josh to be perfect, but he thought he had to be. And I said, Josh has gone through a transformation. Let me tell you how Josh went through a transformation. Not by being perfect. He went through a transformation by earning his own self-respect back. Josh, if you see him, he's lost 77 pounds. But honestly, much more a reflection than the weight is the standard that he is in with himself. But in order to do that, I had to get him into another environment where the peer pressure was beyond imagination. A different kind of peer pressure. Where his identity would shift. And the environment I got him into was a camp where there are kids there that have every challenge known to man. Because Josh was doing anything to get love from other people. So he just became amorphous. He adapted. He told everybody what they wanted to hear. He became the funny guy that would make everybody laugh. But inside, he didn't feel he was worth it and didn't love himself. So he's constantly trying to kill the pain inside. And it's so difficult because without the truth, you don't know what's really going on. And we never really could figure it out 100%. And then there were conflicts that he took the path of least resistance, which most people do for comfort. The conflicts in terms of the standards to hold him to. And how fragile he was or wasn't. And so what he learned was he could get out of anything. If he just could talk the talk. So he got really good at it. So we put him in an environment where the talking didn't matter and where he had to learn to earn everything. I mean, they cut off his hair. They took everything. He had one set of clothes and everything is a privilege. Everything. Toilet paper is a privilege that has to be earned. It's amazing how much you earn when it's really important to you. And so he went through that for 4 months and I went to see him and he is a completely transformed young man because he understands that everything in life has consequence. And he has earned his own self-respect because he now is doing the things that nobody else, he can't get anything without him personally doing it. So he has a love for himself he's never had before. It's the most incredible conversations I've had with him ever. So I was telling Jarek about this and I was saying to him, I said, I don't expect you to be perfect. Here's what I expect. You're going to screw up. Here's what I expect. You're going to lie to me. Here's what I expect. You're going to do some stupid things. Here's what I expect. You're going to do some bad things. But here's what I also expect. I know you're a good man and I know you'll correct it. And I know you'll correct it quickly. And I know that if you're smart, as I think you are, you'll start to trust me and communicate to me what's really going on early on so I can help you and you can help yourself. The same thing is true with everybody here. Everybody here is going to screw up. All of you have, including myself, all of you will. There's no question about that. You're going to screw up in your businesses and your relationships and your finances and your body. You're all going to do that. Being a leader doesn't mean you don't screw up. What it means is there's a much, much smarter lag time between when you screw up and when you correct it. And there's a much fewer number of screw-ups because when you make one, you really learn your lesson and you don't have to go back and repeat 8 million times. Because you understand the source of the problem, you don't just deal with the cause of it. The cause of this argument may be that you didn't like what I said, but the real source of the problem is I don't feel significant, so what you say freaks me out. And so we can deal with causes all day long, and they'll keep repeating the same problems, or we can deal with the source. So there's no perfect answers, and I'm not expecting you to be perfect. I'm expecting you to show up with a new standard for yourself, and by doing so, maybe going into that state so much, maybe some of that will stick as what you really want, because you'll get so much joy from it that you'll say, this is how I want to live. Does that make sense? And that's what we want to do. So let's do this now. Describe, before you ever became exposed to this type of technology, to what we do here, what were you really like physically, emotionally, financially? What were your beliefs? What were your values? What were some of your standards? What was some of the worst part of it? What was a good part of it? Who were you before you got to this, before you made the transformations in your identity? Who did you believe you were? How would you have defined yourself is the most important question. If you answer no other question, how would you have described yourself before you exposed this technology as a person? What kind of person were you? What were your fears? What were your challenges? What would be the identity you had for yourself?
So do you see the importance and impact of maintaining high standards, a higher purpose, and an empowering environment and peer group? Remember, as Tony said, the quality of your life is a direct reflection of the expectations of your peer group. As you help others create lasting change, or you are creating change for yourself, it is vital to have an empowering environment and an identity that supports the change and vision for your life. Let's do a quick recap before we go over the exercise Tony just gave you. We learned that there are so many ways to help build an identity. We can help build an identity through focusing on the triad, the physiology, language, and beliefs. Remember when Tony mentioned the difference between the belief and language of I haven't smoked for 17 days versus I am a non-smoker? Some other ways are making sure their identity meets all their needs in a positive way. Associating to the pleasure of the new identity or the pain of the old one, using incantations, anchoring positive resources, growing your identity through a positive peer group, or simply modeling. Tony also shared some distinctions on ways to enhance our identities as leaders. Remember the story of him washing dishes in India? Tony used his identity of making the best of any situation so he could have fun and enjoy washing dishes for 5 hours a day. And he also shared that true leadership is servant leadership. Tony also talked about the importance of being in rapport, managing our states, and focusing on serving the person we're with. Most importantly, he talked about the standard we hold ourselves to as leaders. So let's go back to the exercise Tony assigned. What you want to do is write down two things. Number one, how would you have defined yourself before you became exposed to Tony's technology? Define the identity you have today and what you're committed to embrace from here forward. And since you know how to condition, maybe you might even want to create an incantation or anchor in your new identity. So with that, it's time to say goodbye for today. But tomorrow is a very exciting day. We're going to talk about how you can identify and measure the level of your leadership and how you can expand it. Have fun with your writing exercise, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.